Pray with me. Dear Lord, we thank you for the wonderful privilege to speak words of life. We thank you for your name. For there's no other name under heaven whereby men and women can be saved but by the name of Jesus. And we know there's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. Lord, we won't wait till then. We'll confess you right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Art and Sharon's always a blessing to have you. Linda, thank you. We've been blessed today. Title of our message for this afternoon, Love Sustained by Three. I'd like to give credit to a book that I've used over the years by O.J. Ritz, entitled Reflections on Love and Marriage. It's an old book, but every time I do a series on marriage, I pull the book out, and it has been a blessing to me. I wanted to give credit. There's no other single force is causing as much measurable hardship in this country as the collapse of marriage. That's quite a statement. That was written about a month ago by Caitlin Flanagan in Time magazine. They devoted a portion of the magazine, in fact, the very cover was entitled Unfaithfully Yours, dealing with weddings and marriage. And inside the cover of Time magazine, the July 13th issue of this year, an article was written by Caitlin Flanagan, and it asked the question, why marriage matters? And this is how it began. Buffeted by affairs and ennui, which is a word for dissatisfaction, the two-parent family is under assault. What America needs to get over its commitment issues, and then it put this in brackets, hint, it isn't love. I disagree with that. And then they started talking about in the article the things that were causing marriages to fail. And I was surprised because in that article it said there was a difference between why poor people break up in their relationships and why people who are secure financially, why they break up. And they said that poor people break up their marriages because they are uncoupling from taking care of their parent responsibilities. I tried to figure out, and I'm quoting the exact words, but I didn't know what that meant. But they went on and to explain that what poor people were doing were having children before they got married, then entering into marriage, and they felt that that was the reason why there was a breakup of poor people in relationships. But the financially secure, they broke up for a totally different reason. Theirs was, if they weren't having fun, they thought that they need to break their marriages up. Totally different perspective on why people break up. He called her his soulmate. He traveled thousands of air miles just to be with her. He was willing to disappear from his high-powered job for a week or two just to be with her. Something got a hold of him, and it bespeaks the problems that we have today in marriage. For this was Governor Mark Sanford of South Carolina, who traveled far for his soulmate, even though he was married. And he had four boys. And he stood up in the press conference and said, I know I broke the law of God. I've started on this journey of talking about the last sermon I talked about, Come to the Wedding, where I talked about Matthew 22 and Jesus using the parable of a wedding. And how I got there, for those who not been able to follow what I've been doing, we started talking about how Satan attacks the institutions that have come out of the Garden of Eden. And first we spent about a month talking about the state of the dead and the first lie that Satan told, saying that you shall not surely die. And even though the Bible says that body plus breath equals a living being, Satan has something totally different to say about that. He says the dead are not really dead, and we talked about that. We spent some time there, and he does a lot of deception in that area still today. And not only that, we talked about the Sabbath, another institution that's come out of the Garden of Eden, and how Satan attacks this particular institution of the Sabbath. And we have well-meaning people who call Sunday the Sabbath, when in fact the Bible is very clear that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. It's clear on that. Find that in Genesis 2. You find that in Exodus 20 and a number of other places. We talked about that. But not only that, but I wanted to talk about, and I'm continuing to talk about, the other institution that Satan attacks, and that is marriage. This won't get a popularity contest talking about this. But can I tell you that he won't get to me regarding the state of the dead? And it won't work regarding the Sabbath. But now marriage, he can work that. He knows how to work that, because we have relationship issues. I know we don't want to talk about that. Folk, it's real. He attacks that, and that's what we see in the book of Genesis. I invite you to turn there, and I'll just highlight what you'll find there in Genesis chapter 3. This is the area that he attacks today. Not only the state of the dead and the Sabbath, but relationship issues, and specifically marriage. Genesis chapter 3, the scripture that was read. Thank you, Gabby, for reading that for us. The scripture of Genesis chapter 3. And I'd like to tell you what happens here. We talked about the last time. We spend a lot of time on our weddings when, in fact, our marriages are under attack. And why I believe that this is such an important subject, because when we have marital problems, the brush is broad. It touches mom and dad, children, family members, neighbors. Everybody's affected by it when our relationships are not going well in those areas. Very broad brush. That's why we need to stay close to this issue. Of course, this happened because of sin. The problems that are in marriage is because of sin. The problems that are in the world today is because of sin. But look how it manifests itself. First of all, in Genesis chapter 3, and look at verse 7. Genesis 3 and verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were what, everybody? Naked, and they did what? Sewed fig leaves. Now, come on now. Come. Are you serious? Was this the way to handle it? Sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, coverings. And so, first of all, they noticed that they were naked. And then in verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife did what, everybody? They hid themselves. They were ashamed. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord called to Adam and he said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was," what, everybody? "I was afraid, naked, ashamed, and afraid." Trouble here. "And I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I command you that you should not eat?" And here's trouble. Then the man said, oh man, you got to get this. You don't want to miss this. Because you don't want to ever do this. "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." Trouble. Don't do that. Blame. Nakedness, ashamed, afraid, and now blame. And then finally, the end of it all, in verse 19. "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, from dust you are, and dust you are to return." Finally, death. Marriage is under attack. And let me share something that I want you to get today that's very important. Marriage is a religious institution. Marriage is a divine institution. Despite what's being said, despite the headlines, it is a religious institution. It is a divine institution. And we didn't come up with this. God came up with it. But when you read the Bible, what God did, he put man to sleep. Then he created woman from his side. And Adam woke up, and God brought Eve to him, and that was it. They got married. God thought this up. It is a religious, divine institution. Oh, I hope you're getting this. Because there are forces that are messing with your mind. Oh, I can't say what I want to say because this is going over the internet. But I hope you get it. This is a religious, divine institution ordained by God. It was God that put a deep longing in man's heart for woman. And when Adam woke up, the first thing he said, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." He was happy. If he'd have woke up and seen somebody else, he wouldn't have been as happy. Oh, I hope y'all get that. Adam woke up and saw Eve, and he shouted for joy. Oh, I hope you get this. They're telling you a whole lot of other stuff. Yeah. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And then Jesus puts his stamp of approval when he quotes, in Matthew 19, he quotes Genesis chapter 2. And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? For this reason, a man shall leave father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." And then he inspired Paul in Ephesians to write making marriage an image of his relationship between him and the church. Just as you cannot change the day of worship to something other than Sabbath, we can't define marriage as something other than what God instituted. True marriage requires three: man, woman, and God. And a lot of the stuff that's going on today, it's not God ordained. We have tried our own system. The world is trying their own system without God, and it will not work. I know you can arrange sex between humans, two humans, without God, but that doesn't carry God's credentials. Love between a man and a woman with God's blessings carries his imprint. All that is called love is not love. Love is sustained by three. Let me switch on you some gears. This is important. There's an attack on marriage. There was an attack in the beginning. Do you think the devil is letting up? Let me tell you how he attacked the first family. Now, this is the first family, Adam and Eve, the first family. Chapter 4, verse 1, you'll see where Adam and Eve, they had their first sons, Cain and Abel. Guess what happened to the first family? Now, you don't want to miss this. If the person next to you sleep, do this. Because I don't want them to miss. This is very, very important. I want you to think of yourself as a parent. Even if you're not, I want you to take this moment to think yourself as a parent. One son kills the other son. How many times have we heard that story? We've not really, one son kills the other son. You're the parent. How would you feel? I cannot even imagine the hurt. In fact, Spirit of Prophecy says that Adam wept over a leaf dying like people who die for a friend. That's how he mourned over a leaf falling. How do you think he got through with a son killing another son? Can you imagine? The mother must have felt. Can you? The Bible is very silent on it. I would have loved to have heard how Adam and Eve dealt with that. Can you imagine the discussions in the kitchen? That's heavy, folks. We just rolling right over that. I am convinced, I don't have any Bible to back what I'm getting ready to say. I am convinced that the only way, we really don't hear much about Adam and Eve anymore after then in the end of chapter 4, we hear that it says that Adam and Eve, they now have a son, Seth. And know how it ends? It says, Seth, who was, and Cain, who killed Abel. That's how they identify him. Can you imagine the pain and trauma of a parent? I'm convinced. In fact, it mentions Adam. It says he lived 930 years and he died. I'm convinced that the only way Adam and Eve made it was they had to have God. And the only way you make it in marriage today, it's got to be three. man and woman and God. That's the only way to make it. If he attacked Adam and Eve that way, he knows how to work on us. And that's why in our churches we don't talk about this is one of these kind of things we don't like to discuss. He works on relationships. And we don't even know how to handle the fact that there might be somebody in our congregation who's been married 2 or 3 times. We don't even know how to deal with that. Folk, you deal with that by having Jesus. He's the only one that can get us through any relationship. It's him. You got to have him. And if you're in that situation, folk, you got to leave the past behind and embrace Jesus. Because the attacks are not going away. We like, and I love it too. I love last day things, eschatology. And we like to stay there. We don't like these sermons about relationships. They really challenge us. But folk, this is where we really need to be dabbling. And we need Jesus. Because we need to get over some of the attacks that Satan has hurled on us. We need to get over that. And if you've had a relationship problem, then you're living. You are. You're living. I don't believe there's anyone in here who hadn't had a relationship problem with somebody. What do you need? You need Jesus. You know the only reason that Adam and Eve were not killed instantly when they sinned? Because Jesus stepped in the gap. Right then. That's the only reason we get as far as we get in this Bible, because of Jesus. He steps in the gap. Do you believe that his blood is sufficient? Thank you, Wes. Even if you've had a failed marriage? Huh? God can't deal with that. Now that's too hard. Even if you've had a failed marriage twice? I'll spill this. I was on a ship. And I may have shared this before. I was moving from one ship to another ship to spend some weeks on there with the troops. And when I got on board, a guy ran to me. I didn't even get on the ship good. He was waiting for me. Chaplain, I got to see you. Got to see you. I said, what's the problem? He said, Chaplain, I'm on number 5. And it's getting ready to go down. He was about 31 years old. I have never dealt with anybody so traumatized. I spent 2 weeks aboard ship, and I think all 2 weeks were with him. And the only answer I had, there was no counseling that I had was good enough to fix that. The only counsel I had for him was a loving, forgiving God. That's all I knew to give him. I gave him all I had to give. I left the ship and I have not seen him since. The Bible is pretty silent about Adam and Eve. In fact, Eve is mentioned only a couple times in the New Testament, and that's kind of in a negative reference. But I am convinced if Adam and Eve stayed together, because they really trusted in their Redeemer. We need that. We need that today. Adam and Eve have a beautiful home. They had plenty to eat. They had the best of everything. They didn't have any bills. They looked good. They didn't need plastic surgery. And they were both physically strong. And they needed Jesus. Do you need him? You think you can make it without him? Do you think you could get married without him? Do you think you can sustain a relationship without him? No. We need him. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that you need him every day, every moment? Oh, how we need him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for providing a way to handle relationships. Let me give you something as I close. It's time for me to go. This is a series. I'm not finished. Forgive me. I'll continue on. This is a bonus. This is a bonus passage. Ephesians 4. Most everyone in here, I would be surprised if you did not know this passage. And this is the answer, one of the answers to dealing with relationship issues. This beyond marriage, this is plain relationships. This is how you do it. Ephesians 4 and verse 26. I'm going to read it for you from the New English Bible. Now, I want you, if you don't have this text marked, you need to mark it. And if you don't know this, you need to memorize the principles. If you are angry, do not let your anger lead you into sin. Do not let sunset find you still nursing it. Leave no loophole for the devil. Oh, God. Hallelujah. You need to make up before sunset. I wish I had something more complicated, Elder Pinnock. I needed something heavier than that, but I couldn't come up with it. That, just make up before sunset. Whatever the problem is, be it with your children, be it with your husband or your wife or your friend or your neighbor, make up before sunset. Do not nurse it, because if you do, you leave a loophole for who? Oh, do you want to leave a loophole for him? Isn't he nasty enough without you leaving a loophole for him? That's just, you take that with you today. Is that easy? No. Can Jesus help you to do that? Yes, he can. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Oh, we need you, Lord. Marriage is under attack. And they're trying to define it as other than what you intended. We're not going to fall for that. We're going to follow the word of God. And we're going to recognize that love is sustained ultimately by you. Lord, we're not naive enough to think that we would not be attacked in our relationships. But Lord, you are there all the time. You're there in our homes. You're there on our jobs. You're there in our goings and our comings. You're there, Lord. You want our relationships to be strong. We thank you, Lord, that we are leaning on you. Bless this church, Lord, as it continues moving forward. May this church have strong relationships. with their families, with their mates, and with each other. May that be what is seen here in the Fallbrook Church. And Lord, in all of that, we'll be careful. And Lord, we would not want to forget those who have in the past have had relationship challenges, even to the point in marriage where they've had issues and difficulties. Lord, help us to get over that and move forward. Help us to know that you forgive us and you love us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.